morning. Before we go into today's message, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Holy and blessed Father, we now ask, Lord, for the anointing of your Holy Spirit, not only upon me, your servant, but upon all who serve you through faith in Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we pray, Lord God, that you would provide us this grace so that through our illuminated understanding of your word, that we may be nourished and strengthened to grow in our sanctification and to persist in endurance of our faith for your name's sake and for your glory. And so, Holy Father, we pray, please bless this worship and this study of your word to that end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to remind everyone that we are continuing with our series in James, picking up where we left off last week in the fourth chapter of this epistle, moving on to verse 1 to verse 6. I began my first ministry position about 20 years ago, at the sprightly age of 23. Since then, I've served at various churches until I was called to serve at this church 7 years ago. During my time in ministry, I've seen and heard of quarrels and fights in the church, as undoubtedly many of us present today have as well. Maybe some of us have been personally impacted by these quarrels and fights in difficult and painful ways. While conflict within the church is at times called for when done in defense of its doctrines and morals, and of course, Scripture makes clear that even that kind of conflict is to be tempered with patience and gentleness, the type of conflict addressed in our text for today is of another kind. Verse 1, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? What causes quarrels and fights among us, brethren? Well, the original word for quarrels is polemos, and it's often translated elsewhere in the New Testament as wars or battles. And as we know, wars not only include open conflict, but also subterfuge, sabotage, and that can sometimes wreak greater havoc than bullets and artillery and bombs. What causes these wars among us, these destructive quarrels, sometimes conducted directly out in the open and sometimes conducted indirectly behind closed doors, behind people's backs? What causes these quarrels and fights among us? And the answer is given to us plainly in verse 1. Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? In the original language, the word for passions is hedone. It's the root of the English word hedonistic. A hedonistic person is devoted to the pursuit of pleasure. He doesn't care all that much for what is true and what is right. All he really cares about is gratifying his insatiable thirst for earthly pleasure. That's a hedonistic person. When we are devoted to the pursuit of some earthly pleasure, over the pursuit of God's pleasure, when the goal of obtaining some earthly pleasure becomes more important to us than our goal to please God, what's going on? We're being driven by a passion. It is our passions that are at war within us. What our text is referring to today is a war of passions. Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? I want some pleasure for myself. I'm determined that I should have that pleasure. But someone else wants that pleasure for himself and is just as determined that he should have that pleasure. Well, now we're going to go to war with each other over who gets to have that pleasure. We've decided to disregard God's pleasure in this matter of conflict. We've decided to fixate on attaining this pleasure instead. And that's why we're willing to go to war over it. We're prepared to crush this other person who's getting in between ourselves and the pleasure that we're lusting after. We're even prepared to murder this person. Verse 2, you desire and do not have, so you murder. Maybe we've set our heart on the pleasure of attaining some position or opportunity, or the pleasure of winning a romantic interest, or the pleasure of carrying out some cherished plan of ours, or the pleasure of fulfilling some other personal preference. But then our pursuit of that pleasure was stymied. Someone else is taking it for himself or herself. Or someone else in one way or another prevents us from attaining that pleasure. And in the aggravation of our disappointed desire, we murder. Murder, remember, is not limited to physical murder. We can murder someone in our hearts just through our anger and words, as our Lord teaches us in Matthew 5, 21 to 22. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. We desire some pleasure, but due to another person getting in the way, we can't get it. And so what do? We murder. We grow enraged at that person. We bear a grudge against them. We insult them behind their backs. We call them a fool to their face. We treat them with contempt and despise them. And that's murder. Verse 2. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. We covet some pleasure. But again, someone else gets in the way. So we fight and quarrel. Someone else takes that pleasure for himself or herself. And accusations begin to fly. Accusations of unfairness. We call that person inconsiderate and selfish for taking what we wanted. In our resentment, we become surly towards that individual. And that other person takes offense at us, at our attitude and accusations. And the next thing you know, you're quarreling and fighting. You're at each other's throats. Brethren in Christ, if we want something that is lawful for us to possess, and for some reason we can't acquire it, what does our text tell us? Our text tells us we should ask God. But at no point should we turn a desire into a passion and quarrel and fight with our brothers over obtaining that pleasure. Verse 2 to 3, you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Brethren in Christ, sometimes we don't have something that we desire simply because we don't ask for it. We don't think to ask for it in prayer. And maybe we don't want to ask for it because we don't want to leave it to the Lord. We don't want our Lord to say no. We don't want our Lord to require of us patience. We want it now. So we take matters into our own hands. We're prepared to do whatever it takes to obtain that elusive desire. We'll quarrel and fight for it if necessary. And now we've made this particular desire of ours into a passion. But maybe we have asked. But our asking so far has proved fruitless. We've asked repeatedly and have not received. And one of the reasons why we do not receive is shown to us. One reason among many possible reasons. Verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. For asking has been fruitless, it is possible that we're asking wrongly to spend whatever it is that we're asking for on our own self-centered passions. It's possible that we're asking with little to no consideration for the glory of God's name, little to no consideration for the seeking of His kingdom and His righteousness, little to no consideration for the fulfilling of our stewardship before Him, with little to no consideration for the service of His house and what is pleasing to Him. It is possible we're asking mainly out of our selfish craving for pleasure. The pleasure of our own pride and glory. The pleasure of our own sensual gratification. The pleasure of acquiring earthly treasure for ourselves. If we ask wrongly, if our motive for asking is to spend our requests on our own passions, our text makes clear that we should not think that we will receive what we're asking for. In fact, our praying in this way is an expression of rebellion against God, as we read in verse 4. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. When we become engrossed with our own earthly pleasure, what's going on? We are being corrupted by the world. Because that's how the world, in its spiritual deadness, lives life. The world is dominated and controlled by its earthly, temporal pleasures and ambitions. They live in the passions of their flesh, not in the truth of God. The outlook of the world, as we've emphasized repeatedly in the past, is circumscribed by earthly desires and hardened and unresponsive to the will and way of God in Christ Jesus. What ultimately matters to the world is gratifying its various passions. And this is evident by its willingness to rampage against those who keep them from gratifying those passions. that enslave them. Friendship with the world is to have a sinful affinity for the world's ungodly, man-centered outlook on life. Friendship with the world is to imitate the world in its squabbling and wrangling over the earthly pleasures and unspiritual ambitions that dominate their hearts and minds. For believers to show friendship with the world is to be spiritually idolatrous and adulterous, should I say. It is to stray from our devotion to God and to follow the idolatrous example of a spiritually dead world. And that is what believers are doing when they devote themselves to the pursuit of their own earthly pleasures rather than seeking first the things that please God. The fact is, if we are chosen, redeemed, and set apart for God in Christ, God is jealous over our spirits. Verse 5. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? He yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us. Our Lord and God, as our Redeemer, as our Savior, has a jealous desire for our spirit's devotion to him. Our Lord is displeased with his children when they allow the desire for some pleasure to become so strong that they prioritize the gratifying of that pleasure over seeking to please him. Isn't that what we're doing when we quarrel and fight with our fellow brethren in Christ over some petty desire of ours? Isn't that what we're doing when obtaining some pleasure we're pursuing becomes more important than obeying our Lord's command to love our brother? How are we loving our neighbor and brother when we're willing to go to war with them and even murder them in our hearts due to some covetous desire for petty earthly pleasure? Brethren in Christ, our Lord is jealous over our spirits that dwell within us. He desires that we seek first what is pleasing to him, not the short-lived pleasures of this world. He desires that we always prioritize his pleasure over our earthly pleasures. He desires that we make the goal of pleasing him the greatest of all our pleasures, far exceeding any petty earthly pleasure, even if it may be lawfully enjoyed. He yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us. He desires that we make the goal of pleasing him the greatest of all our pleasures. And that is not impossible for the true Christian and genuine child of God. And that is because, as we read in our text, he supplies us with more grace. Verse 6. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If we are in Christ, God gives us the grace to live out the devotion his jealousy for us demands. Our Lord commands us, his people, to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, not our own earthly passions. Our Lord requires that we live for him, not for ourselves. And he supplies all of his children with the grace to do as he commands. By his grace, Our God has raised us out of spiritual death and into spiritual life. And by so doing, has given us a new heart that is inclined towards Him in Christ, that indeed loves and trusts Him and desires to obey Him. By His grace, our God has sent His Spirit to live in us. And by His indwelling Holy Spirit, grants us the illumination we need to accept and understand His Word as He intended. By His indwelling Spirit, He has implanted with us new holy desires, desires that are pleasing to Him. By His grace, God has given us His Word, whereby we comprehend all that is necessary for doing His will and pleasing Him. By His grace, God has given to us in Christ the privilege of prayer, whereby we have been granted the right to draw near to Him and find help in our time of need, when beset by temptation, especially the temptation to put an earthly desire and an earthly pleasure above His pleasure. By His grace, God has given us the capacity to fellowship with each other as children of His blessed family, so that through each other and in reliance upon His Word, we're able to teach, admonish, and comfort each other as we live together as both sojourners in this evil, dark world, and as citizens of His Son's glorious and everlasting kingdom under His reign and rule. Our Lord gives us the grace to live out the devotion His jealousy for us demands. He gives us that grace in Christ in His saving work and by the power of His Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your instruction. And Lord God, we thank You that You have shown us what is at the root of so much quarreling and fighting, even amongst us who are in the body of Christ. Lord, we have read in Your Word that You yearn jealously over the Spirit that You have made to dwell in us. And so, Lord, because that is the case, we ask and pray for Your strengthening and power through Your saving grace in Christ to put above all earthly pleasure the pleasure of pleasing You and seeking first Your kingdom and Your righteousness. The pleasure of doing what is right and good in Your sight. And so living in this way, we pray, Lord, that the body of Christ, even here locally, insofar as we are truly Your children, will be marked by peace, by the unity of the faith in Christ Jesus. For Your glory and for Your name's sake, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.